I want to share with you a letter written from Reb Matala. Yeah? Okay, good. There's a letter that Reb Matala wrote to my great-grandfather, to Reb Leibowitz, his son, in which he lays out for him what his Derech HaLimud is and several other things. In the middle of the letter, he writes as follows. Ken Yikavu Limud b'sifrei tzadikim, so too should you establish your learning seder in the works of tzadikim. V'hanochain, what is correct, is lilmeid sefer tanya mehachav ad kala, to learn sefer tanya from beginning to end. Shar sifrei tzadikim, also the svarim of other tzadikim, namely Ma'arinayim, written by Rav Nochum of Chernobyl, or a mayor, which is again one of the Talmidim of the Magid, Be'ermayim Chaim, which was a generation later, and Emek Tfila, which was written by Rabbi Yankee Bisol of Chikas. Now, the only Sefer that he writes, you should learn from beginning to end, is Sefer Tanya. And I think that it's not, by the way, by error that he used that language, because Tanya came out in several different versions. He first came out with the first Chalik, and then there were the Geras HaTshuva was added later, then there was Kuntres Achron, and then there were other letters that were added called the Geras HaKodesh. So when he said from beginning to end, he meant from beginning to end. Like, you should add, I want you to learn Sefer Tanya, know it well. Now, the truth of the matter is that as the various knowers of Chassidus, the people who really studied the Chochmas, you know, the knowledge of Hasidic texts, the way they write about Tanya is that it's a key to being able, it's kind of like, I don't call it a key, what do they call it, a code. If you understand Tanya, you understand the Yesodos upon which it's written, then you really have access to understanding the world of Chassidus. Now, most people have no comprehension as to what the scope of that means. Just a small glimpse, and this is not a quarter of what the Hasidic texts are. This entire wall going to there are all Sefer Chassidus. And I'm working on it, but I don't have a quarter of them. So there's a welt, and there's an entire world of machshava out there. Now, one of the issues that I believe requires some clarification is bichlal the explosion of Kabbalah in later years, meaning if you look into the early Poskim, beginning with the Mishnah and the Gemara and that whole, all the ages, there was very little talk about Kabbalah. Then, of course, we never went through that period where Kabbalah became terribly abused. And it was extremely frowned upon. The entire massive worldwide argument that took place between Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz was revolved all around the abuse of Kabbalah, Lahavdil, with the Shabsi Tzvi and his followers. And the Ramchal, who, as you well know, in addition to writing his classic Mesilas Yesharim, wrote extensively in Kabbalah. Many of his Kabbalistic works were burned. Those that were not burned were buried. But there are remnants that are still appearing today of his works in Kabbalah. And the Ramchal, and his language is so severe, and his letters. I met Rabbi Rausch in the airport. So I showed him. I was learning one of the svarim that writes up the letters of Ramchal, and I covered the top of the page, and I said to him, "Tell me who wrote this letter." And the letter demolishes the learning of classic Talmud the way we learn in yeshiva. Calls it a waste of time and just wasting their brains. And it has the most severe language used in that description. Have a grab some chairs, please. Also, Chaim, here's some copies. Ramchal writes on the pasuk in Tehillim, Alisa Lamorim, Shavisa Shevi, which is said about Moshe Rabbeinu. You went up on high, Shavisa Shevi, you took, Shevi literally is booty. And Moshe Rabbeinu is accused by the Malachim of stealing the Torah from Shemayim, right? Says Ramchal, Shevi is Rosh Tevis, Shimon Bar Yochai. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went upstairs and stole the wisdom of Kabbalah, which was authored by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Comes the Ramchal and adds, and it's not by no error, that in addition to it being Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the next great Kabbalist who made us the huge impact on the world of Kabbalah was the Arizal, who was, what was his name? Shlaima Yitzchaki. Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Shlaima. Again, Yitzchak ben Shlaima. Shatevis Shevi. Rabbi Wolfson adds that in later times, he said it was by no error that the next one who made this massive contribution to the thought of Kabbalah was Rabbi Yisrael Balshem. Or Yisrael ben Sora, whichever way you want to. And Rabbi Wolfson, in quoting earlier sources, says two critical inyanim in understanding why is it that, as it seems, the generation is getting lesser, that the revelation of Kabbalah is getting greater. And there's a greater emphasis on the learning of Kabbalah. There's a greater, certainly from, if you look into the works of Ramchal and his like, there's a tremendous emphasis on pushing it. There happens to be a exchange of letters between Rabbi Avram Kalisker, who was a disciple of the Magid, and the Balatanya, where the two of them severely disagree about the selling of deep Kabbalah to the masses. Rabbi Avram Kalisker writes so harshly to the Balatanya. The Balatanya defends himself brilliantly. But there was a struggle as to, is this for the masses, or was it only for the Talmidei Magid, to people who were of great... And then the Balatanya defends his position. So there's two important nekudas. First is, that the darker the time, the more light you need. And due to the fact that in Yemais HaMashiach we're heading into very dark, spiritually dark times, it is this wisdom that can keep us alive. Secondly, and perhaps more importantly, is just like before daybreak, there's Hisnoitzitzus, there are sparks, there are rays of light from the next day. We understand that before Yemais HaMashiach, there is a revelation of the light, which we're told by in the Eliyahu Navi, the Rishon Baichor records in the Zohar, the Eliyahu Navi said to him, with this sefer, Klal Yisrael will go out of the Golos. So, not only is it to keep us alive during the Golos, but even more so, it is already a Hisnoitzitzutz, it already is sparks of the coming Gula. Daniel Dimfeo, put some bottles on the table and some cups, and everybody should drink so that you don't fall asleep. It gets warm in here. I don't think this works when it's so cold outside. Okay. Alright, so let's... one of the interesting things, and this is interesting because in the classic Chabad printings, they only have two Haskamas printed, one from Reb Zisha von Apollo, who was a contemporary of the Baal Tanya. The second was from the Machiach, Reb Yudah Lev HaKohen. The two happened to be buried together in the same oil in Anapala. There were other printings of the Tanya and Shklov and in other bastions of Hisnagdus, and I think they did it on purpose. And there's some really gorgeous Haskamas that are not printed in the classic printings that are found in letters about the Baal Tanya. And if you look into the Haskamas, you take some time later to look into the Haskamas, you'll see that those approbations, none of them contain his name. Because the Sefer was printed without Reb Shneur Zalman's name. He did not print his name when he printed the Sefer. All right, let's begin. I have a particular weakness, which I will share with you openly, and that is I enjoy the Sefer much more from chapter 18 and on. So I would like to move rather quickly through the first 18 chapters and then slow down a little bit when it gets into the kishka of the Avoda, practical service in that chapter. Chaim, you want a copy? So Tanya on the table. Oh. Tanya, we learned B'Saif Perek Gimel Denida. We learned in the third chapter of Tractate Nida Mashbi'in Oisai that when a Jew concludes learning Torah with his angel in his mother's womb, and he's getting ready to be born, so the soul is forced to take an oath. And the language of that oath is, Tihi Tzadik, you are to be a Tzadik Va'al Tihi Rasha, do not be wicked. Even if the entire world tells you you are a tzaddik, heyei be'enecha ki rasha, you should be in your own eyes like a rasha. Now, first of all, what is the significance? What's the point of having a soul take an oath? An oath that the soul doesn't remember anyway. What would be the point? The Tzemach Tzedek says that the power of an oath, he says it's very similar to the point of, what's the point of teaching a soul Torah? The entirety of Torah before it's born, and then the Malach comes along, and supposedly this thing on the mouth is given to us, and we forget the Torah. What's the point? So, Tzemach Tzedek points out that there's an ah moment. It's the classic case of deja vu. Yeah, I know when you hear something in Torah, and you know that you've heard it somewhere before. So if you don't know that you've heard it somewhere before, it's probably not true. Because if the Malach didn't teach it to you, you don't remember it, then you're learning something wrong. Mati, quiet down. But the point is that in the subconscious of the neshama, there is a memory of the Torah we learned, and there's certainly a memory of the oath we took. Over and above that, the koyach of a shvua is something which is seared deeply into the psyche of the human being, and it's the way that Tzemach Tzedek puts it is an assistance, it's a siyua for us to later on overcome our evil inclination. So the fact that we took the oath ultimately helps us in the future, in a moment of temptation, to be able to overcome the appetites presented by the Yetzer. So the soul is forced to take this oath that we are to be a tzaddik and not a rasha. And then the Gemara adds this very strange statement that even if the entire world tells you you're a tzaddik, you should be like a rasha. Asks Rav Shneur Zalman, "B'tzorach l'havin, we need to understand why this would be. D'atnan, didn't we learn in Perkei Avos that the Mishnah says, 'V'al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmecha,' we dare not view ourselves as being wicked." And emotionally, we all understand it's a terrible thing for a person to see themselves in such a negative light. So why would that be part of this oath that the person takes? What's more, v'gam yeh be'enav kirasha, if the person will be in their own eyes like a wicked person, yeh levavai, he's going to be in a lousy mood. V'ya'atzev, and he's going to be depressed. And v'la yuchal la'aved Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav, and the person won't be able to serve Hashem with joy and with gladness of heart, which is a biblical command. So what would be the point of any person undertaking an oath that they should see themselves as they were wicked? Now, conversely, in kind of as a defense, he says, "V'im lo yero levovei klal," but if the person doesn't take himself seriously at all, he doesn't see any consequence to his actions, then the person, if a person's a happy-go-lucky, saying you know, I'm okay, whatever I do doesn't really make a difference, then he stands a danger of Kalus Reish, which is total carelessness, apathy, spiritual apathy. Right? It doesn't make a difference anyway, which is equally dangerous. So where's the balance? Achenyan. Here's the concept. There are five divisions. Now, what's interesting is he throws together a little bit of a chont here, because these five divisions are not found in the same Gemara. This is a combination of several Gemaras. But he's trying to point out to us the various categories that we find throughout Chazal. So you found five different. One of them is called Tzadik B'Tovlai. A Tzadik, and it's good for him. We'll discuss in a moment what that means. Then there's Tzadik V'Ralei. There's a Tzadik who has some evil. Then there's Rasha V'Tovlai. There's a wicked person who's got some good. Rasha V'Ralei. There's a wicked person who has evil. U'Beinani. And then there is what we call the Beinani. Now this Sefer, the Baal Tanya named Sefer Shel Beinanim. It's the handbook for the Beinani. We usually translate the Beinani as an average person, and what we're going to come to learn is it is anything but the average person. Okay? But that's usually how we say the Beinani is the guy right in the middle. He's not wicked, he's not a tzaddik, he's middle of the road. Now, Upir should be Gemara. So the Gemara says, what's the definition of these terms? Tzaddik betoivloi, a tzaddik, who it is good, that's a tzaddik gomer, that's a person who is a total tzaddik. Tzaddik v'ralo, a tzaddik who has evil, is tzaddik she'ena gomer. That's a tzaddik who's not total tzaddik. Comes the Reya Mehemna. The Reya Mehemna is a portion of the Zohar, Parshas Mishpatim. It's called Reya Mehemna because it was authored, the Zohar writes, it was authored by, told to him, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the author of this section of the Zohar. So he writes, Pirish Tzadik V'Ra'aloi, listen to this interpretation of Tzadik V'Ra'aloi, says Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what that is? Shehara Sheboi Kofuf L'Tov. Meaning, he has some evil, but it is totally subordinate to his good. So, he has, somewhere internally, there is some evil inclination, but it never expresses itself because it is totally subordinate to his goodness. Ubi Gemara Seif Perek Tes de Brachas. The Gemara says there, Tzadikim Yetze Toiv Shoiftan. We find a very similar thing in the Talmud Bavli. The Gemara says, Tzadikim are ruled by their Yetze Toiv. So there is some evil there. But it's overruled. They're ruled totally by the Yetze Toiv. Rishayim, wicked people, Yetze Hara Shoiftan. They are ruled by the Yetze Hara. Beinanim, the personality that we're addressing here, Zev v'zeh shoiftan. They've got two bosses, two rulers. So now, the Gemara there goes on to say, somebody, would you please show us a picture, give us the video of a Beinani, like give us a glimpse into who this is? Rabba steps forward. I'm a Rabba. Kigayna no a Beinani. Hey guys, I am the Beinani. Okay, I'm the guy who says, who has both Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Amalei Abaya, so his disciple Abaya is standing there, and he says to him, Leishavik mar chaya l'chol birya, if you're the Beinani, where does it leave anybody else? Right, if you Rebbe, right, you're our teacher, our master, you're the Beinani, is Achin Vei for the rest of us, where does it leave anybody else? Then like we're, you know, below Rishayim. Says the Baal Tanya, Lahavin Kolzeh Be'er Heitiv, if we're going to understand this correctly, how did he make such a mistake? If the definition of a Beinani, as we normally translate it, is a person who has an equal amount of sins and an equal amount of mitzvahs, Rabba was not delusional. Rabba knew that he wasn't 50-50. So what was his thinking? V'gam Lahavin Masha Omer Iyuv. Let's throw something else into the mix here. This is the part of it that always tortured me. Iyuv said, it's Job, said, Rabbeinu Shalom, Master of the World. He had a bunch of arguments with God. And one of his arguments was, Rabbi Nishlan, the master of the world, Barasa Tzadikim, Barasa Rishayim. It's not fair. The whole system is not fair. Because you created Tzadikim and you created wicked people. So it's not fair. Give everybody a chance. Give everybody an equal chance. Says the Baal Tanya, V'ad Tzadik V'rosh Alei Kama. We know that the Gemara says that 40 days before Yetziras Havlad, the Malach comes to the Rabbi Nishalaylam with the tipa, with the seminal drop, and says to him, Master of the world, tipa zu matayala, what's going to be with this droplet? What's it going to grow up to be? Chacham etipish, smart or stupid, wealthy or poor, healthy or unhealthy, all these various things. Says the Gemara, one thing God does not dictate, tzadik v'rosh alei kama. The Rabbi Nishalaylam does not dictate whether the person is going to be a tzaddik or a rush. In addition, we need to understand what the essence of this level of a beinoni is. It cannot possibly be that he is 50% mitzvahs and 50% averis, as we just said earlier, shame came, because if that was the case, how could Rabbi have made a mistake about himself to have said shehu beinoni, that he is a beinoni? V'noida, the Gemara tells the story of Rabba's death. It's a fascinating story. There's an argument going on in heaven between the Almighty and his yeshiva. What that means beats me. But they're arguing about a certain mara of tzaras. Okay? Hashem says one way, and the yeshiva upstairs says another way. So they decide that they got to send it over to a third party. So they say, who should we give it to? So Hashem says, Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Now there's one slight problem. Rabbi Bar Nachmani was still in this world. So they dispatched the Malach HaMavis to go get him. Malach HaMavis says he can't go get him because like Posak Pum and Megirsa, he never stops learning. And if somebody never stops learning, then he can't go and get him. So what did he do? He made some huge noise. He stopped for a second, and they took him, and Rabbi, which way did he rule? I don't remember if he ruled that Hashem was right, but he said Tahar. He said it's that particular Mara of Tzaras was Tahar. I don't remember which opinion said which. So, says the Baal Tanya, can you tell me, please, are you going to say that a person who the Yetzirah couldn't even go get, because he never stopped learning, the Malach HaMavis couldn't kill him? That's a person who is 50-50? Come on. You're going to tell me that Rabbi thought about himself that he had 50% of errors? That can't be. Right? What's more, and this is so, it's so damning on one hand, and it's so inspiring on the other hand. The next kasha. Any one of us, at a time that God forbid, were involved actively in sin, Nikra Rasha Gomer. At that moment, the person is totally wicked. Doesn't make a difference if he's finished Shas, and he knows all of Zayir Baharat. At the time a person is involved in an Aveir, they're a Rasha. What's more, V'imach HaKachasa Tshuva, the moment the person does repent, Nikra Tzadik Gomer. At that moment, he's a Tzadik. So how do you ever have the status of a tzaddik, or a rasha, or a beinoni in this regard, if it's 50-50, at any given moment the 50-50 is inconsequential. Because if the person is involved in chait, at that moment he's a rasha. If the person did tshuva, then he's a tzaddik. So v'machtos nafkamin, or how are you going to have a nafkamin? How are you ever going to have this guy who's a beinoni? There is no straddling, there is no bridge in between these two areas. What's more, and this is where it gets so impossible, so let's go through it quickly. Even a person who violates one slight, what we view as being a very simple rabbinic issue, Mikra Rasha, that person is called wicked too. What's more, forget about somebody who did anything. Somebody who has the capacity to protest a wrongdoing. And he didn't protest it. Nikra Rasha, the Gemara in Shavuos calls that person a Rasha. No. So he says, V'kolshken v'kal v'chayme v'mevat leizim mitzvah saseh. So for sure, somebody who did not fulfill a positive mitzvah, she'ef shalei the kaima, that he had the ability to do it. K'may, listen to this example, oy vey. Kol she'ef shalei lasik b'torah, somebody who has time to study Torah. Ve'ein ha'yosek, and at that time that God gave him the capacity to learn, he doesn't learn. Sha'ol avdor shu'chazal, ki dvar Hashem boza, he disgraced Hashem's word. He karest, that person should be cut off. I mean, those are heavy-duty words that Chazal say. So if at that moment the person's a Rasha, so where do you have a Beinoni? Upshita! For sure, a person who violates the prohibition of Bittul Torah, Demikri Rasha Tveima Ibe Isad Rabbana, the person for sure is a greater Rasha than somebody who just violated a rabbinic mitzvah. Ve'im kein, therefore, Akar Chachit must be a Beinoni Ein Bayafilo Oven Bittul Torah. When we're talking about this person who's a Beinoni, this person doesn't even have a moment of Bittul Torah. Umishumachi, and therefore, Tarabba Biatz Melamishu Beinoni. Therefore, Rabba was able to make the mistake about himself, thinking that he might be a Beinoni. Now, again, we still haven't defined what it is. But at least we understand that it's a person who has not even violated Bittul Torah. V'od Arminu Bialma de Mechzal Mechzimikra Beinoni. And if you could ask me, what do you do with the various Svarim? And the times that Chazal say that a person who has 50% mitzvahs and 50% averus is called a Beinoni. What's more, we all know from the high holiday season that Rav Zochius Mikra Tzadik, you know, they do an accounting and the person's got a majority of mitzvahs, he's called a Tzadik. So you see that that name is used for a person who has a greater balance, a greater number of mitzvahs. Says the Baal Tanya, Hushem HaMushal. It's a borrowed term. Le'inyin schar v'einish, with regard to reward and punishment, meaning, lefi shenidon achirubay, because at any given moment, if a person is judged, the Almighty judges him at that moment according to where he's at in life. So, well, for instance, I'll give you an example. When the Pasuk speaks about Vitzdikos a tzaddik v'yoshivas a rasha by Malkus, right? We have a court case by Edom Zaymimin. So the Gemara talks about the fact that a person is found to be righteous and the other person is found to be wicked. It doesn't have to do with righteous in life. It has to do with this case. Who in this case is right and who in this case is wrong? And the terminology used is tzaddik and rasha. Even though in life it may be totally different. But in this case, they're referred to as a tzaddik in Russia. So he's a mikra tzaddik bedina. He's called a tzaddik in this judgment, me'acher shezoich bedin, because he won this judgment. But when it comes to the true definition of the person, v'amayla shal mayla sumadrekes chalukes tzaddikim ubeininim. But when we're talking about the essential meaning, the essential definition of a tzaddik and a beinoni, here is the definition. Amru Chazal, the definition of a tzaddik is tzaddikim yetzer tov shoftam. A tzaddik is a person who is completely and totally ruled but only by their yetzer tov. Shenemar, as David HaMelech says about himself, V'libi cholal bikirbi, my heart is empty within me, meaning his left chamber of his heart. Sechazal she'ein lo yetzahara, David HaMelech eradicated his evil inclination. Kiharga v'tainis, he killed it with, he killed it by fasting. Avol mi shelo yigiel namadrei gezu, but a person who has not completely and totally eradicated his yetzahara, even though he has 99.99% mitzvahs and only 0.001 klal, that person is not a tzaddik in the true definition of tzaddik. Ulechein amar Chazal b'medrash, Chazal tells us in the medrash, Ra'a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'tzaddikim shemuatim, Therefore, we now understand this Medrash. The Medrash says, it's a Gemara, actually, Hashem saw that the tzaddikim are very, very few. Amad v'shoslan b'chol dor v'dor. See, he spread them out throughout history. Because every generation has to have a person who has no Yetzirah. K'mei shiksiv, because the Pasuk says, v'tzaddik yisadeno. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. So that in every generation, there's got to be one tzaddik. And the definition of a tzaddik is a person who has no Yetzirah. He has no other inclination. So one might ask, what's he doing here? What's the point? And there were people who were identified in their generations as the tzaddik hador.
So were they born like that, or did they?
So you're going to see throughout the Sefer Tanya that tzaddikim are born. Many of them. David HaMelech turned himself into a tzaddik. But generally speaking, there are neshamas, like Eve said, the neshamas of tzaddikim, meaning this level of tzaddik. A tzaddik who has no evil inclination is born. What's the purpose? Tzaddik yisaiden. The world requires a tzaddik to be the foundation of the world. The Arizal says in Shaar HaGilgulim, where he writes about this, that these neshamas don't want to come down to this world, and they come down as a kindness, as a chesed, to the generation, to sustain the generation. There's very interesting examples given. The Avtarov was one of the people who it was said about him that he was on this madrega, and he used to say about himself that he remembered being a kohen gadol in a previous Gilgal to the degree where when he davened Musa for the Amud on Yom Kippur, and he comes to the portion where we say v'kach haya omer, this is what the kohen gadol used to say. The Avtarov used to say, "V'kach hayisi omer." This is what I used to say. And they said about given tzaddikim throughout the ages that they did not. Every other neshama comes back to the world because we've messed up so many times. The Rebbe Shalom keeps on giving us another opportunity to fix it. And generally speaking, we know what we have to fix because it's the thing that we struggle with most. But these tzaddikim don't come for themselves; they come for the benefit of their generation and their times. And it's something which is extraordinarily difficult for them. Now, so you realize he's going to spend the next 17 prokem redefining these terms in a way that creates a desire for a person to work on becoming a Beinoni. One of the things that's critical to remember is the line he said before about tshuva. And it's halachically, the paskin like this in Shulchan Aruch, somebody walks over to a woman and says to her, Hariat mikudeshes li, b'tabazu amanash ani tzaddik gomer, be thou married to me, on the condition that I am a tzaddik gomer, that woman needs a get. Why? Shemer hir tshuva b'libay. Because maybe he had a thought of tshuva. Tzaddik gomer? That's what happens with the thought of tshuva. So, you see the power of tshuva. That's why the Mishnah says, shuv yamecha lefnei misascha, you know, do tshuva one day before you die. Always a good idea. And due to the fact that most people don't know a day before they die, it's a good idea to do tshuva all the time. Because you never know when it's the opportune day. Let's just begin a little bit into the next thing, just to create an appetite so you want to come back next week. Ach b'Iranian. Because here it starts to get fun. Let's get into this deeper. Al pi mashu kosav Reb Chaim Vital zal. Reb Chaim Vital was the recorder of the Arizal. Didn't write himself. Reb Chaim Vital wrote Shari Kedusha. He wrote Eitz Chaim. He wrote that second shelf there, the left side of that second shelf, are all Reb Chaim Vital's writings from the Arizal. Okay, and he writes to the call Ish Yisrael, every single Jew, Echad Tzadik v'Echad Rasha, the greatest Tzadik or the greatest wicked person, Yashtei Neshamas. We are a dual drive. I don't know how they explained this before they had computers, but we are all a dual drive being. two neshamas. Dichsev, and he proves it from a pasuk. Reb Chaim Vital proves it from a pasuk. Uneshamos ani asisi, I created plural souls for each person. Shen shtei nefashos, these are two drives. Nefesh achas mitzad haklipa v'sitra achra, each of us has a drive, and we'll define these terms a little bit more next week, from the other side, and from what's known as the klipa. The klipa means the shell, and that is a less severe term than sitra achra, because the shell serves a great purpose, right? You can't protect the nut, you can't protect the orange without the peel. V'hi amislabeshes b'dama Adam, that soul is the life source of humans, and non-Jews have this as well, la'achir saguf, it is what gives the body life. Uki dechsiv, as the pasuk says, ki nefesh habasa b'dami, that the soul exists in the blood. Okay, and it refers to the animal, what he calls the animal soul. It is the soul that has all the same appetites that animals have. Eating, drinking, cohabiting, sleeping, computers. Ukedechsiv, umimena, bois kol hamidos rois, and from it come all bad attributes. Me'arbi yisoidus roim, from the four negative sources, Shabbat, that are contained in that soul. And he gives examples. Now, what are these four elements? There are everything in the world, both spiritual and physical, are made up of four elements. They are fire, water, earth, and air. And those are four physical elements, and there are also four spiritual elements. So there's physical fire, but that all comes from elements which are spiritual as well. So everything physical, every physical manifestation comes from a deeper spiritual source. Okay, so if there's physical fire, there's spiritual fire. If there's physical water, there's spiritual water. So where the physical body is made up of these four, the soul is made up of these four, and as he's going to explain, and we'll talk about this more next week, every human being is mixed a little bit differently. So some of us got more earth and less water, some of us got more water and less fire, and so on. And that makes up the uniqueness of human beings. Alright, so next week we will take it back from Achbira Inyan to go back to the battle of the two souls. Same time, same channel.